This is Carl the Jackal Frampton.
Hi, this is David Healy.
Hello, this is Stephen Ferris.
Hi, I'm Bethany Ferris.
My name is Shola Amiobi.
I'm Jonas Gutierrez.
Hi, this is Harry Kuehl.
You're listening to The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark. I'm a man.
And welcome along to The Score with me, Michael Clark. There are just 2 points between the top two teams in the league. That is in part thanks to Coleraine holding Larne to a draw last weekend. The Bandsiders are in better form. And joining us on the show today, their midfield maestro, Stephen Laurie, who is back and enjoying his football once again. What a result at the other end of the table. For Newry City, a win at Carrick Rangers, their second time doing that in the league in this campaign. They also knocked them out of the League Cup in Carrick. Well, Fran McCaffrey was the hero this time around. His sole goal got them the 3 points to pull them just 2 points behind. Second from bottom, Ballymena United. Fran McCaffrey coming up on the programme. And Loch All boss Dean Smith. He sent shockwaves throughout the league with a 3-0 win at the Glens. It moved them up to 7th in the table and keeps their European hopes alive. Plus, we'll hear from Northern Ireland boss Michael O'Neill after he announced his squad to take on Romania and Scotland. It's all coming up right here on The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Oh, it's almost a case of where to begin, isn't it? Because we have the news that Declan Cadell is going to be the man to replace Stephen Baxter at the end of this campaign. Congratulations to Declan. Huge shoes to fill. And Crusaders fans, you can let me know your thoughts on that. We'll be getting reaction to it in the coming weeks on the programme, I'm sure. And at some point, we'll have Declan on to talk about things. And at the time of bringing you this programme, Warren Feeney still in the job at Glentoran despite heavy speculation that he might not be in position for much longer. That after the Loch All defeat, and as we said just a moment ago, the Loch All manager is on today's programme. We'll hear how it felt at full time in the Oval from the other dugout's perspective. We'll be chatting to Dean in about 15 minutes' time, but before that, it is time to welcome our first guest of this week onto The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Well, on The Score now, we can say a very happy return onto the programme for Coleraine midfielder Stephen Laurie. Stephen, how are you?
Hey, Michael. All good.
Great to have you on the programme. Great to see you back on the pitch playing football again. It's been a pretty challenging period in your career, I would have thought, being on the sidelines. Just how relieved and how happy are you now to finally be back out and getting back into full fitness?
Good. Feeling really, really glad to be back playing. I'm enjoying my football again at the minute. I've had quite a few injuries in the last few years, and it's just been a frustrating time for me. And I think when you're older as well, you write yourself off, and a lot of people write you off, and probably rightly so as well. So I think, as I said, I thought it'll be for Coleraine during the weekend. It's just kind of the same things about when you are older in your career, you appreciate things a bit more, you appreciate being on the pitch, and you appreciate training that wee bit more. And like, realistically, you know, if you're coming close to the end, so you know, you've only got you know, so many appearances left on you.
And when you see your teammates going through a difficult season, it must make it all the more frustrating to be on the sidelines and imagining, I can make a difference here, but I'm not able to play.
You do question yourself, even like, can you make a difference? And I did ask myself them questions a lot. I think, you know, moments that stick out for me, I remember going to Cliftonville early in the season, we beat 5-0. Just really on Corian like performance. I came on after, I think it was around 40 minutes, someone got injured, I didn't get a warm up, I came straight onto the pitch, felt really out of my depth that day, just probably didn't get warmed up, I was nowhere near as fit as I wanted to be, came on, to be fair, they were they were in real top form, and you know they deserved the one. But you know, I remember after that game really questioning myself, and I'm wondering if you can still do it. And all the experience that you have, you still think, you know, can you still can do it at this level and stuff? And that's the kind of things that do go through your head. So, like the last 3-4 games, I do feel much more like myself. I feel like I've got plenty of training sessions under my belt now, and I haven't missed in a long time. And you know, it's been great to get back out there, and obviously the results have been positive, which help as well.
I think that's really, really refreshing how honest you're being about having that dip in your own confidence. Sometimes we're not good at admitting that in ourselves. Who was there to help you out and kind of give you that bit of belief back? To me, it seems strange to hear that you doubted yourself, because I don't think anyone that's followed your career would ever doubt you for a minute.
No, and that's the thing. I mean, I do set myself high standards, and I think, like, yeah, I must have, I'd say I've probably over 700 appearances in the Irish League, and even the, you know, the I definitely did. You do question yourself, and I think when you're an older player, you know, you can get written off quite easily. Now, I'm not saying people were writing me off, and I'm not saying that the manager was writing me off, but I was writing myself off at times. I think, yeah, like you'll recognise some, like as an older player, if you don't make a tackle, people think you don't make it because you're older. Yeah. Or if you make a mistake, you're making it because your legs are gone. Whereas if you make the same mistake 5-10 years ago, it's just quickly forgotten about. And I think it's just, as you say, you do need to have good people around you, and you need to have a strong character as well. So, like, as much as you can talk to people and can get advice off people, I think it comes kind of from within, really, in terms of, you know, doing extra training, getting yourself back to where you need to be, because at the end of the day, no matter how much you talk to people, there's no hiding place on the pitch. So I think it's just getting yourself into that, you know, into first of all the physical condition, and then getting your head right and making sure you just do the simple things well and build it up again. That's kind of the approach I've taken to it all.
And looking at Corrine, and I don't know if I'm being too simplistic, because sometimes we overcomplicate football, is it just a case of getting some of the more experienced, established players back into the team, getting those guys that have been out injured, including yourself, back, that has led to this upturn in form? You know, play your best players and you'll get better results.
I think, you know, it's no doubt that that has definitely been a reason why we're doing a bit better. But even there, just, you know, give credit to the owner as well. I even think, like, as much as this season's been frustrating for us at Corrine, you know, Oran's definitely someone I've always looked to for strength, even when things aren't going well. And like, even when things weren't going well for Corrine, and we went on a kind of run of games where we didn't want to match, like, Oran never changed. He was the same, you know, even delivering team talks, delivering his training and all. It was just the same as always. And I think sometimes in football, it's just what happened just happened, and that's, you just, it's just part of football. I think, as you say, that the upturn in form is definitely down to that. Like, the signings in January have been good. Like, we signed Jack Scott, who's came in, probably played every week since he's came into the club, and he's turned out to be a really good signing for us so far. And the likes of Jamie McGonigal's just proven quality in terms of the level he played out at the Irish City, and he's come back to the Irish League, and you know, he's scored goals already, and I know he'll continue to do that. So from when you have the likes of Jamie and Chevy up front, you know you always have a goal threat, and that's just probably creating a solid base behind that, which has helped us.
And when you look at the results, well, I guess the Linfield game, no better tonic, is there, if anyone was lacking confidence, than to go and put on the display that you did against Linfield. It seemed to come out of nowhere, but maybe for all of you guys with a bit of frustration built up, it was a long time coming, a performance like that.
I think, like, it was a perfect kind of game for us in terms of the pressure wasn't on us to go and, you know, outplay Linfield, or, you know, it was more about just staying in the game and being hard to beat. And when you do that, then you always give yourself a chance, and we have good players, you know, at the front end of the pitch. And as much as that night, I would say, listen, we weren't bad, or we were. I think there's still more to come from us. You know, like that night against Linfield, you know, we just stayed in the game, and then we got the goals at good times. And sometimes you just need it. You just need a performance like that to get yourself back going again. But like, Linfield then went in the game after us and went and beat Cliftonville 3-0 away from home, which kind of gives you a wee bit of confidence as well, that, you know, that they're still at that real top level. And And even just in the league in general now, like, we played Larne on Saturday, who were a very well-drilled team and physical. So, you know, we've shown we can compete with Linfield and Larne, which gives us good confidence, you know, going into the business end of the season here.
And what is the message? What is the idea amongst you and your teammates now in terms of what you want to achieve between now and the end of the campaign?
I genuinely just think it's just about trying to build up a wee bit of momentum, and probably just, I think the aim for us is to kind of stay unbeaten. You know, we want to try and stay unbeaten to the end of the season and be hard to beat. We've kept, you know, a few clean sheets here in the last, well, three clean sheets in our last three games, which is always something to build on. We've, you know, I think good teams that I've ever been involved in have always been, you know, hard to beat. So that's something we want to really get back to. Even the Korean teams over the last 3-4 years, we've always kind of went on good long unbeaten runs. So that's something we probably want to aim for towards now and the end of the season. It's not going to be easy. We have to go to CV on Saturday. But that's our aim. I think to hit the playoffs and get some kind of a, you know, form that we can, you know, match any of the teams, because no doubt we're going to be playing against, you know, top teams, and the carrot there is so, you know, so learned for everyone they qualify for Europe.
And I know, you know, a top half finish isn't anything you're going to do somersaults over, but considering maybe how it looked not that long ago, I'm sure everyone's relieved that you're in this position. It's not guaranteed yet, but you're moving towards that. Lock all are keeping you honest. There's only 3 points of a gap.
Yeah, no, definitely. You're right. I mean, even there, we probably weren't. Obviously, we knew Lock all the way there, but like Carrick were the closest team to us before Saturday, and we probably had in our head that we, you know, we nearly won one more game. We've got two really tough games left, so. One win should do it for us, given our goal difference and stuff. We want to obviously finish the top six. At the start of the season, that we wouldn't have been, you know, hoping to be in this position. But at the same time, you know, it's a wee bit of a reality check for us as well. We want to, you know, there's no God-given right to be, you know, to finish in the top six. The teams below us have had investment. Lock all, to be fair, have had a fantastic first season back up again, and you know they deserve loads of credit. So no, we want to try and get the top six secured as soon as we can, but you know, going to CV on Saturday is, you know, not going to be easy. So hopefully we can do it on Saturday.
And I said this on social media, it's fairly putting years on me that next season the CV boss is going to be Declan Cadell. I don't know if your brother shared any thoughts on that, but these managers are getting younger, Stephen.
These managers are getting younger than me. I think, yeah, well, Philip texted me that I was actually just getting ready to go out to training, and I got a text from him to tell me that Declan got appointed. And to be fair, I played against Declan plenty of times in my career, plenty of midfield battles with him, and he knows what it means to play for Crusaders and what their club's all about. So from that perspective, I'm sure the fans will be happy with that, and they'll know that Declan will be doing his utmost. They do well as a manager. I'm sure that, you know, he's a big challenge ahead in terms of just the standard of the Irish League, the way things have pushed forward. I don't know a huge amount about his managerial skills and stuff, because I've never worked with him or anything, but I'm sure it's a great opportunity for him to go and do well. And I wish him all the best as well. It's good to see young managers getting an opportunity in the Irish League, and I'm sure that you know, he'll be relishing it. And no, it'll be good for him.
Just thinking now, you know, could be, what, in the next couple of years, could we see you in one dugout and him in the other dugout? I mean, how many of these people, this is just, I think, a sign of me struggling with, you know, being in my mid-30s now, where you're going, I remember when those two used to kick each other out in the pitch, and now they're managing.
Now that I'm kind of playing a bit more regularly, like, I want to try and maybe keep playing. If I keep feeling the way I'm feeling now, I'll maybe try and play on for another season. Depending on how things go. But like, for a man, like the coaching and managing would interest me. I've done my coaching badges, and I'm currently working towards my license, which has been great. And I am a player coach at Korean at the minute. I done plenty of coaching earlier in the season with the first team whenever I was injured, and you know, I really enjoyed it. But at the same time, you can't really replace playing, so wouldn't really speculate too much about the future. I want to just play things by ear and see how it goes. And there's going to be changes at Korean too. I mean, the club is looking to go towards a full-time model. I personally don't know what that looks like at the moment, and I know that the club are doing a lot of work behind the scenes at the minute, so it'll be interesting to see how all that goes. And I think realistically, to get close to where we want to be, or towards the top of the league, it's inevitable it will have to go towards a full-time model.
Well, you've had that little taste of being in the dugout. It hasn't scared you away. That's the main thing.
Well, I was 100%. I really, really enjoyed it. I actually learned a lot. I was kind of throughout most of the season, earlier in the season, and it was great to see that other side of it and experience it. And to be fair, I've worked with Owen for a long time, and I've also worked under some other really, really good managers, which, you know, it stands in good stead, and you learn a lot. So, and I'm also good friends with Paul Owens at Limavady, so he's kind of ringing me regularly to update his managerial woes and how he's getting on there in the Championship too. So keep a close eye on that league as well to see how they're getting on.
In terms of Saturday and Seaview, I'm sure you're expecting a real challenge against Crusaders. You know exactly what you're in for.
Definitely. We know they did a good one there against Ballymena on Saturday, and like, they still have loads of quality all over the pitch. Paul Heatley seems to be continue to play really well, and I think Ben Kennedy was really good in the second half. So it's going to be a tough game, but I think two evenly matched teams, and it should be a really good game for neutral. I'm sure my dad will be going to watch the match
as ever with his half and half scarf on.
No, I'll be in the cruise end. Get a free ticket.
You said that, not me. Just before I let you go, Stephen, you know, you're talking about the full-time model. You know, should Korean fans read into that at all? You know, are you hoping to be there next season? Is there any changes on your side of things?
Generally, don't know. My contract's up at the end of the season, but I've signed a one-year contract the last 3 or 4 years, and I genuinely don't know what. I think Korean at the moment are preparing to go towards some kind of a full-time model. I'm only reading in between the investment happening, you know, and the just kind of the stuff that's been in the press and stuff. You know, I think it's inevitable. Whether that's going to be like a hybrid model to start with and then into a full-time model, I genuinely do not know. But I'm sure that, you know, we have a lot of players there who are still under contract and will still hope to be at the club. So I'm sure that in the next few months that things will be starting, well, it's probably in the next few weeks really, that things will start to become a wee bit clearer for everyone. Listen, I still want to be at Korean. I really love being there, and I'm, you know, I want to still try. If I keep feeling the way I'm feeling, I want to still play. But again, Michael, it's a bit up in the air at the moment, but you can see why as well, with the changes that are happening.
No, well, fair enough. I always appreciate your honesty, appreciate your time, and it's just great, sincerely, to see you back on the pitch. It's never nice when anyone is out injured, and how difficult that can be, and as we've heard, knock your confidence. But you're back, the team's playing well, and it looks like there could be an exciting end of the season for you, in a season where your supporters have not always had things to cheer about. So let's hope there's more positives to come. Thank you so much for coming on to the programme this week.
No bother, Michael. It was great to speak to you, and I'm sure I'll see you soon.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Stephen Laurie, a former Linfield player. Linfield fans very happy that Korean were able to take points off Larne last weekend. They were also very happy, the Blues supporters, to see their team win the Bet McLean Cup final. Congratulations to David Healy and his players for picking up the silverware. 3-1, their success over Portadown, and a special word of credit to the Portadown fans, who didn't just come out in big numbers as well to play their part in the occasion. I thought in many ways they stole the show in terms of the atmosphere they helped to create, and they pushed their players on even at 2-0 down going into half time, and then conceding early enough on in the second half. At 3-0 down, they kept on making noise, and I do think it gave them a boost. Some timely subs helped as well. They pulled one back. It wasn't to be, Portadown fans, and Linfield were worthy winners. No one could take that away from them. But I do think it's great when you go into Windsor Park that you made the most of your day and you really made yourself heard, which isn't always easy to do. It's a big stadium to try and make your noise in. So credit where it is due. The match is taking place in the top flight this weekend. Quickly run you through the fixtures. Linfield, since we were talking about them, are against Newry City. Larner against Glenavon. Dungannon Swifts play Glentoran. Crusaders are against Coleraine. Ballymena United host Carrick Rangers. And now it's time to hear from the man and the team who are taking on Cliftonville.
The Score with Michael Clark.
When we talk about stories of the season, our next guest definitely a part of that conversation, from Championship winners to Premiership disruptors, now up to 7th after their big win on Saturday. 7 games to go, European dreams still potentially there. The club, of course, are Loughall, and their manager Dean Smith is on the Score. Hi Dean.
How are you, Michael? How's things?
Things are very good, and I imagine things are good with yourself at the moment too. What a result.
Yeah, we've nothing to complain about. Yeah, look, I thought Saturday we were super, and it was a result we deserved. You know, my disappointment is probably wee bit that the players probably haven't got as much credit as I thought they should have got or have done. But you know, it was a fantastic win, and you know, 3-0 sort of showed throughout the game our dominance and how good we were.
It's the sort of scoreline where, well, we've seen the impact that it's had on Glentoran, and I'll ask you about that in a moment. But, you know, I would think that's the sort of result, when you get it, your phone's busy for the rest of the night, and there's a real buzz about the place.
Yeah, look, even in training this week, there's been a real buzz about with the players. You know, obviously off the back of such a good result, and, you know, training this week has been fantastic, and, you know, hopefully we can carry that into Saturday.
In terms of things you've achieved this season, where does that rank? Because going to a club the size of Glentoran and beating them 3-0, you know, if I'd have said that to you last year, you'd have probably said I was mental.
Yeah, we actually talked about it. Literally 12 months ago, we were away at Knockbreda. 12 months ago on Saturday when we played Glentoran, and you know, the 12 months that we've had since then is we've gone on to win the league and obviously go on to beat Glentoran in the manner in which we did was so pleasing, and it really has been, you know, a whirlwind in certain extents. But you know, at times certainly the season can drag on, but look, it was a fantastic result, and the players deserve all the credit. You know, from minute one to minute 90, I thought they were outstanding.
And go on, give them that wee bit of praise. And who were the standout stars? We you know, obviously everyone can see who got the goals, and I'm sure they've seen the clips by now, but what really stood out to you on the day?
I think it was a real team performance. You know, normally as managers, you always say that you know, you normally always carry somebody on a Saturday. But on Saturday there passed, we didn't carry anybody. I thought everybody was fantastic. Look, Nathaniel scores his 2 goals, and his all round display was super. You know, we had Jordan Gibson in midfield, who I thought was outstanding, and defensively we looked really solid too. You know, and Saturday was more about a team performance rather than individuals. You know.
And your attention, I know you'll say each game at a time and all the rest of it, but you're up to 7th now. Are you in any way going, could we get this European playoff spot? You know, it's in your hands at the moment, 7 games to go.
Yeah, look, I think a lot of people have asked this, and for me, I've said the same answer, and you know, it hasn't changed. Our first port of call is to make sure that we're mathematically safe, and that until that happens, that'll be our main objective. Because going into the season, our main objective was one, can we stay in the league? So you know, mathematically, it's not done yet, and the old cliche, it's one game at a time, and we're just trying to get slowly across the line from our point of view, where we can't get dragged into anything, and then after that, we can start looking at different things. But until the first one's achieved, we'll not look too far ahead.
Well, that, depending on how results go this weekend, could be the case.
So I'm told. I'm not. I'm not too sure. We're 18 or 19 clear of the bottom. So I think if we were to match Newry's result, then that would be one of the relegation spots away. So from us, you know, so that's the way we're looking at it. And you know, as a group, we've continued that all season to make sure that, you know, our main objective is that to remain in the league, and anything after that's a bonus. You know, after, once we get mathematically certain that we can't get dragged into anything, then we start looking at other things, and you know, maybe 7th or whatever is a possibility. But for us, it's just making sure that we do our job, and our main objective is achieved this year.
And the thing is, I know there'll be so much focus on the Glentoran result, but actually how important that performance at home against Carrick Rangers might end up being. I know maybe people weren't saying that when you were 3-1 down, but to come back and to get that point when they are one of the teams fighting with you for that spot, who knows just how crucial that could end up being?
Yeah, look, it was a really tough game, and to be honest, at 3-1, even myself, I'm standing on the sideline thinking we're never going to get back into this. We didn't even look like getting back into it. We made a few subs, and Nathaniel being one of them changed the game. And you know, coming out of the game at the very, very end, my opinion is that we had a penalty, you know, a stonewall penalty that wasn't given, it, which if we had a converted would have been a 4-3 victory, which probably would have been a wee bit harsh in Carrick. But you know, the point was a great point, because after 60 minutes I didn't see us getting a point at all. And again, credit goes to the players, they've dug in, they've hung in the game where maybe it could have been out of sight at times, and we've hung in and grabbed the draw. And you know, at the end it was Carrick hanging on instead of us. So look, it shows the character of the players and the group. And again, we keep talking about how good the group is, and it really is. It's a really tight-knit group that we've got, and all the players work for each other, and you know, you can see that at times.
And when we're talking about the mathematics of, in your mind, making sure you can't be dragged into that bottom two conversation, although I think most certainly from my perspective you look more than safe, you are only 3 points behind Coleraine, 2 games before the split. Whether you get there or not, I think everyone can acknowledge hell of an achievement, but you never know.
Yeah, look, as I said, if somebody had told me at this point of the season we'd be 3 points behind Coleraine, you know, I'd have laughed at them, being totally honest. So look, we are really pleased with what we've done so far. We're really delighted with where we are and how the season has went, but you know, it's not over, and we want to continue to try and push on. And sweet, but like the human nature thing, you know, when you get something, you're greedy and you want more. You know, we've got this stage now where we do want more. We want to see how far we can push on. And again, it'll come down to these last 7 games. And you know, as you say, Coleraine 3 points ahead of us. And to be honest, I don't even know who the next fixtures are. But you know, we just look at our own and see what we can come up with.
And a recognition for the season that you're having is Benji McGee getting called up to the Northern Ireland under-21s. A really lovely moment for him, I'm sure, and something his teammates can be proud of.
Yeah, very much so. You know, Benji's been a star for us this year, you know, with his goals, and he's 15 league goals. And you know, to be honest, Nathaniel, that was Nathaniel's 11th on Saturday, you know, so they have 2 strikers that they have 26 goals for a team that's in the bottom six is, I think, a great achievement. But going back to Benji, he's been a real star for us all year. He's been a vocal point for us at times, and has probably pulled us out of more holes than enough this year with his goals and his performances. So I think it's a call up for me that was well deserved, and hopefully you'll go away now, you'll get his first cap and enjoy it.
And something that I'm sure you'll be, you know, send other young players in the squad or coming up through the ranks, you know, they are looking at us, they are seeing what we're doing here, so make sure you keep on believing in it.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think, you know, to be honest, I was a wee bit disappointed. Maybe he didn't make the previous squad, you know, because he was in a rich vein of form at that time, and he'd come off back and scored, I think it was out of the last 6 games, he scored 6 goals, you know, so I was a wee bit disappointed that he didn't make that squad, and I think Benji was as well. But, you know, he's kept his head down, he's worked hard, and, you know, as you say, he's somebody for the rest of the club, the players, especially the younger players, to look to and say, look, if he can do it, I can certainly do it at Loughgall. And it shows you that the scope, that if you're doing well, somebody will always, you know, see you and give you that opportunity.
And I know Nathaniel Ferris is someone who Loughgall fans know all about and have been loving his contributions this season. But do you think elsewhere maybe people have overlooked his thing? Has he got a wee chip on his shoulder going, everyone's talking about Benji, only a few goals behind him?
Hey, well, he is now, because after 2 goals on Saturday, so you know, there's a bit of banter within the change room now. You know, who's going to be the leading goal scorer? You know, 3 or 4 weeks ago it was totally different. You know, Benji was nailed on, but now Nathaniel's back in, and you know, you've got to give Nathaniel fantastic credit. At times he probably hasn't played as much as he would have liked at times, but when he's come in and the likes of Saturday, I thought he was phenomenal on Saturday, and I thought against Carrick he came on and changed the game for us. You know, so he's 11 league goals, which is, I think, for any striker in the Irish League is fantastic.
And talking about your games coming up this weekend, if we can look at that first, it's a home game. It is against Cliftonville, so you know what they have certainly to offer and the threat that they're going to pose your team. How are you feeling going into that game?
Not great, because we haven't done too well against them in the league and the cup, you know, but like we do with Cliftonville at the very start of the year, and it was a point that I thought we deserved. You know, since then we've played them twice, once in the league and once in the cup, and to be honest, we played them in the league at our place, and if I'm being totally honest, we never let it love up on that day. And I told the players, I took full responsibility. I tried to change our shape, I tried to change how we play, and I came in after the game and apologised, because it was something that, you know, we're not coached to do. It's not how we want to be seen, and we tried to change things and it didn't work that day. And I'll be honest, Cliftonville ran out easy winners, so we're hoping now that come Saturday that we could certainly put up a better performance and get back to doing things sort of how we like to do them.
And I don't know if I'm wording this question right. Does the novelty of the Premiership wear off and then everyone starts to go, do you know, we are a Premiership team? Because I would imagine the first few games you're going, wow, we're playing at this ground, or wow, we're playing this team. And then you get to a point in the season where, no, we're here and we deserve it, and you know, we're not afraid of anybody.
Yeah, and I'll be totally honest, there was a bit of the team talk about that on Saturday against Glentoran. We came down at Glentoran at the very start of the season, got beat 6. And on the night, it could have been and should have been more. We were, what I said, rabbit in the headlights, and we were really poor, and we looked like a Championship team that just came into the Premier League, if I'm being totally honest. And the team talk on Saturday was, look, we're now seasoned Premier League players. You've got to go out and show that we're not going to be caught in the headlights again. We've learned our lessons, and you know, the players certainly took that on board on Saturday and put on a performance that were worthy winners.
I'm sure come the end of the season you're going to sit back and be able to assess everything. It must mean a lot to, you know, there's been so much coverage at the beginning of the season about, you know, the small area that Loughall represents and all that, and people did the number crunching. But you must be still hearing stories from people about what this means to them, and seeing new faces coming in and sort of joining the success story. It's not lost on you, you know, just how, I guess, impressive this has all been.
Yeah, I think as a manager, any manager will tell you that you're caught in like a cocoon, you know, you never really look outside of it. And, you know, I don't think until it's all over that we'll sit back and go, Frig, look what we've done. But, you know, we've got to pay a tribute. You know, you've said there about the fans that are coming, and the fans that, you know, probably for us haven't got enough credit this year. They've been fantastic home and away, and especially at our home games, they make for a good atmosphere. And at times, they're probably pulled the team through as well in certain games. And you know, when the atmosphere is good at Lakefield, there's a big crowd, and you know, the fans are singing, the players do respond to that. And as I said, it's fantastic to see. I think if you look at our averages, we're more than double the population of the village, you know, so it's crazy, you know, that we've people coming from outside the village to come to support, you know, a so-called small club in Loughall, and long may it continue.
And when you put so much work into the stadium, to see it's so busy and to see it so vibrant and to see the numbers there, and the, you know, the away teams of Cliftonville are going to pack the place out, I'm sure, with all their busloads of fans coming, it must fill you with pride.
Like it does, you know, it really does, you know, because in the dark old days at the very start, you know, there certainly wasn't too many people watching Loughall, and you know, the players themselves have changed that with their brand of football and how they play and how they go about their business, and it's attracted people. And you know, our youth system is fantastic. We have, you know, we have girls teams right up now through the age groups as well, and the club itself is going from strength to strength. And you know, I keep saying that's down to what the players are doing. You know, it's not, there's no magic wand about it. It's about doing the right things, and the players have continued to do that, you know, season on season. And the reason that the club is in such a good position is certainly down to them.
There's so much can naturally change, not just over the next couple of games, but when you go into the split, you know, there's Dungannon, Swifts are 5 points behind you, Glenavon 2 points, Carrick 1 point. It is so tight, things can quickly alter, but as we've said, you're also 3 points behind Coleraine yourselves. It's a real cluster of clubs clawing for those valuable points every week.
Yeah, it's exciting times. I think if you look at the league, where it is, you know, the group that we would call, you know, outside of the top boys, we're all together, we were all close in points, and you know, even when the split does happen, if we don't make the top six, you know, it's going to be exciting games and there's going to be plenty to play for. So for us, it's making sure that we keep continuing the things that have got us there in the first place, and to try and enjoy the end of the season as much as we can. And you know, the players, again, I keep going on about this, but they deserve so much credit. You know, they've been, you know, everybody looked at us and probably went, they're never staying up, because we never really brought too many players into the group, you know, with Premier League experience. Again, we went for the players that we trusted, and they've delivered, and now they're not Championship players, they're fully fledged Premier League players. And again, it's down to them, where the club is, where it is, and we want to go out and finish the season on a high, and the old cliche, one game at a time, just see what we can do and see where it takes us.
Dean, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for coming on to The Score.
Well, Michael, thank you.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Well, after 19 league games without a win, Newry City ended that run with a victory away to Carrick Rangers. The man who grabbed the goal late on in the game joins us now, Fra McCaffrey. Fra, how are you?
I'm all good, mate, all good. Yourself?
I'm doing brilliantly, and what an important goal of that goal of yours could turn out to be. What was it like when the ball hit the net?
It was a big sense of relief. Obviously, getting the goal that late on, but I'd missed, I spoke to you the other day, I missed a missed a chance earlier on in the game, which I probably should have done better with. So, and then one of the boys, one of the coaches, Mick, he had actually said to me whenever I missed, I said to him, oh, I'd hit a bobble, and he was like, ways up, forget about it. And I says, right, okay, I'm going to go get the winner anyway. So the fact that I went and done that, I couldn't remember I said that to him, to be honest, but it was sort of good relief after I scored. And then it was just a hectic 10 minutes after that to try and keep the ball in at the other side, you know.
Yes, I mean, that miss, I did say to you after the game, probably not one of your favourite moments. You're still claiming a bobble there, but you more than made up for it. No one's going to really remember that now because of the goal. And in fairness, the two substitutes linked up really well, didn't they? John McGovern with the deep ball into the box, Slorkin Ford plays it back to you, and you make the run, and you get there ahead of the defender to finish it.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's one thing we've spoke about at the club, like that it's a team game. The whole squad's going to need to really dig in to get us out of the position we're in. And the fact that them two boys come off the bench and done well and played a part in the goal is brilliant for us. And it's just something that we need to build on then, just as a team. And it shows real togetherness that boys can come off the bench, and the quality in the squad as well to provide moments like that in a game, you know.
And what really stuck out to me was it seemed like nearly emotional scenes after the match. You know, there was a real sense of relief with the players as they went over to the away fans, who really, really celebrate it. And sometimes you look at moments and go, could that be where things start to change? Did it feel like that for you collectively?
Yeah, 100%. It's one of those ones. It's not as if we're going out, the boys are being out and trying to get beat every week, you know, it's or not get a win. It's kind of, it was just unbelievable to get that win, the first win, I think, in 19 games, I think was said. And to see the joy in the fans' face, they stuck by the team all year, even when things haven't been going well, you know. And then to see their reaction, and it's great to see the reaction of them, and see it's just such a relief, and I'm sure it was a relief for them to get the win for all their hard support and the hard-earned money they spend as well to come to the games, and for us to get the win for them. And it shows a real togetherness within the team and the squad and the town or whatever, to try and save Newry and try and keep us in the Premier League. Yeah.
Well, that is what it's all about. Now, just 2 points behind Ballymena United. We know, you know, two tricky games, most certainly away to Linfield this weekend and then home to Crusaders before the split. But, you know, it might be fair to suggest that the matches which could define your season are going to be the games after that when the split happens.
Yeah, well, I think the last couple of weeks, I think that's what it's been focused on, is the split is where you're going to get, where you've got a chance, the better chance, say, of getting points. Like, you go into Linfield and you go to Crusaders, obviously you go out there and you try and win every game, but it's obviously a little bit harder whenever you look at other teams, like the top six, their budgets, their players, their quality players are. So the aim always is to try and beat those teams around you. And listen, get into the split, if it's 2 points or if it's 4 points, you, no matter what, you still got a, you've got a chance because you're playing the teams around you. And I think it's just something that we were looking towards from since I've signed. It's kind of something that's been said that if we can get to the split with a smaller gap than what it was 6 points there a couple of weeks ago. So we just tried to break the gap down and then play in the split, and hopefully, you know, things can go our way and we can win games and other teams might do us a favour and vice versa, you know.
Imagine coming into training after the win is just that bit easier. The feeling carries into the week and everyone's mood is that bit better.
To be fair, I've obviously been at one point. I've been in this situation before, and to be honest, I don't know if it's because I'm only in or the change of manager or what, but at one point, say, if we were in this situation, training wasn't great. That wasn't great. You kind of... I think there was like a bit of tension or a bit, everyone was on edge a bit, but since I've been at Newry, I don't think there's been that edginess. I think everyone's just kind of wanting to do better, and maybe the change of manager has lifted players as well, but it just feels like every training, it doesn't feel like, you're not going into training feeling big weekend ahead here. There's none of that. Everyone's just buzzing to play and do well, you know. So I think it's been a good atmosphere. It hasn't been doom and gloom, like, you know.
And the decision to come to Newry City, was it an easy one for you? I mean, naturally, if you were just to say, would you like to leave the PIL and play in the Premiership, it sounds like an obvious one, but given what you've been through with Warren Point Town, given what Newry City are going through, what was the decision like?
To be fair, it was a tough one. It was something that was in the, I kind of thought about from the start of the year. It was quite hard playing in the Premier Intermediate. It was tough enough in the Championship too, but I just found it a wee bit more difficult to get motivated, and no disrespect to anybody in that league or whatever. It was just personally myself, because it'd been nearly 10 years in the Premiership, and then to drop down in the quick space of 18 months or 12 months, sorry, in that league, it was tough, and it was biting away at me, and I see myself as an alright player, like, so I thought I could play in the Premiership. And then whenever the chance came, whenever I left, I never put in a transfer request and left Warren Point or whatever. I actually cried the last day I was there. I literally cried in front of Pat, the kit man, and a few other boys. It was tough, like, you know, to leave, but it was kind of just a personal decision for myself to get back to the highest level possible, because I believe in myself and I believe I can play at that level, and I'm getting a bit older too. So it was kind of like, if I was younger, I would have stayed at one point, no problem. But the fact that I'm 31 here in April, I was kind of going, I mightn't have that long left to play in the Premiership. You just never know with whatever way things work out. So I just wanted to get back, and it was tough to leave, but I'm happy, and I feel better at myself now because I'm playing at a higher level, and I just said something that I probably should have done 2 years ago, maybe. I don't know, you know, just one of those ones.
Well, it comes across how much you really cared about Warren Point Town, and I appreciate you admitting to us just, you know, how difficult that day was. And it's funny, isn't it, because, you know, did it just all of a sudden just hit you all at once? You made your mind up, you thought, right, that's everything done, and then when you're looking people and saying your goodbyes, then you kind of go, oh goodness, it's this is real.
No, that was the thing, cause I was like, right, I'm leaving, I'm going, and then I was going to go in. I'd agreed to go down and see in the form or whatever, and I'd agreed to speak to the boys in the change room, spoke to them, and then, as I say, Pat comes in, and it all hits you, and I realised why I was there, and like the people, there's great people down there, like, and it was just kind of sense of almost letting them down because I was leaving, you know. But since then, I've spoke to all the great people at the club or whatever, and majority of them support me, and they will support me in the future. But I'd say there's one or two a wee bit disheartened because I went to Newry. But again, it's football, and at times you just have to kind of do what's best for you and move on, you know.
we had Jim O'Hanlon on the show a few weeks ago, and I know you two had a good friendship. Hopefully you still do. And you know, he was joking about, well, he talked me into coming here, and then he flipping left.
Hi. No, Jim's still a good mate of mine. I speak to him more. I think my family sometimes. But no, Jim, he was me slagging that day. He texted me straight away, calling me a rat. That's what he sent me. Sent me through after he'd done the interview with you, and I was like, what are you talking about? And he kind of spoke through that interview, and I was there laughing at him. But no, it was Jim's all right.
Oh dear, you see, a good sense of humour gets us through so many things in life. And you know, coming into Newry City, because it's Barry Gray, you've also got that bit of continuity. It isn't completely detached. You know, you still know him, you know his methods, and maybe it helps you settle that bit quicker. And I know there's a couple other players came in as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. That was one thing. See, from the minute I went into training, like, it never felt like I was joining a new team, if that makes sense. Obviously, there was a few boys, Conor Mitchell, Brandon Doyle, Dermot McVeigh, one of the coaches. Who else is there? There's the majority, Adam Carl, Lorcan Ford, Stephen Moner. There's all them boys. I played with all them boys before at the point, and it was kind of, and then the rest of them, I've probably kicked them a few times, so they all know who it was like. And it was, it was easy enough to settle in, and quite enjoyable, to be honest, first couple of sessions. And then now we're near the end of it, you know, near the end of the
year. And when you compare, you know, even just a couple of weeks ago, look at how quickly things change in football at you know, Glentoran, a club you know very well. You have that difficult day there, and now we're talking about Newry coming off the back of a win, and Glentoran facing another change of manager by the looks of things.
That's it. It's football's mental. It does. Like, they beat us 8-2 the other week, so you're kind of going, there's no way fans can not want him to be manager of their club. And then, what, in the space of 2-3 weeks, they're sending out they've sent out letters or whatever. And it's football. It's mental. It literally can change like that. Like, for example, at one point we were, I think, 3 points off the top of the league, and then I think it was like 4 games later you're fifth or sixth, and you're going, it's mental how quickly it can change. Like,
when you look through your career, you've played in the League of Ireland, of course, you played for Glentoran, Ballymena United, go through, you've mentioned Warren Point Town. How do you reflect on the different managers, the different challenges? Because careers can kind of pass by so quickly, and I appreciate you're only 30, and I like to think, Fry, you've got a good few miles left in the tank. But, you know, are you getting to that stage where you're sort of looking back and going, my goodness, I've actually done quite a few things and experienced quite a few things for good and bad?
Yeah, no, definitely. I moved to England when I was 16, and then you come home and you Dundalk. There's things I done there. I wanted to play. I could have stayed. They won the league the year after I left. I could have stayed, but I wanted the guaranteed first team football, which Stephen Kenny at the time couldn't give me. You know, so I wanted to move on, and that's a regret. Like, my dad would say, you shouldn't have left there, blah blah blah. But I've won the Irish Cup, I've won the League Cup, I've played in Middle Ulster Cup final, County Antrim Shield final. I've done quite a lot, and at times I probably should have done more. As speak to anybody and they'll probably tell you the same thing. As even at the Glens, could have probably played himself a bit better. And at Ballymena, it sometimes worked out and sometimes didn't work out with injuries and stuff, so it's just one of those. And then I think Warren Point really rebuilt my career and gave me a love again for football. And it's kind of now I'm getting the, as you say, in my 30s, I'm kind of going, I just want to give the rest and or give all I can now, the last, I don't know how long you can play these days, like, but just to play as high as I can for as long as I can and just enjoy it, you know.
And the winners' medals, are they pride of place in your house, or is that something you've locked away, or do they sit with a relative now?
No, to be honest, I've got them all now. They used to sit in my dad's attic. He keeps them safe. He knows where everything is. But I actually needed to get them out the other day. I was on a placement in school, and the principal actually wanted me to show a couple of kids them. So that's the first time they came back out in a couple of years. Like, but they're there and they're safe. I just don't have them hanging out in the on the mantelpiece, like, you know.
you don't like put your Irish Cup winners medal on like a wee Saturday night when you're watching, I don't know, Ant and Dec.
No, definitely not. But I do let people, I do like to remind people now and again that have won it, you know. And the situation, I won at that time, and it was my brother's wedding, so I missed my brother's wedding. Well, the first part of my brother's wedding, so to play in the Irish Cup final that time, so it was kind of, it's kind of always stuck in the family's head. And I don't know, the brothers forgive me now, like, but he didn't for a while, like, you know.
Well, you'd no choice but to go and win it that day. That was Glentoran against Portadown, wasn't it, that one? And you, you know, if you don't come home with that medal, well, there'd be hell to pay after missing part of the wedding.
I wouldn't have won the cup, and I don't think it would have let me in the wedding, to be honest. It would have closed the doors on me as soon as it turned up. But no, it's all good now. It was all good at the time, but it's just, you always have those wee moments in your brain where you're thinking other stuff, like, you know.
So hold on, actually. Right, everyone, I would assume when you win the Irish Cup, everyone kind of goes mental and there's a huge, huge party. Are you having to say, look, I'm already going to get grief here, I'm away to a wedding?
Aye, so I get picked up in a taxi. So we had our Irish Cup suit, and I got picked up in a taxi, and the taxi man had my other suit in the car, so I had to get changed into, I was actually best man for my brother, so uh-huh. I had to get changed into his suit, and then in a taxi on the way to the Le Mans Hotel, and then into his wedding, and had to leave everybody. But then the next day there were celebrations for a couple of days, so I got caught up anyway, you know.
Well, that bit was never in doubt. I'm loving that, right? So I think every groom is like, I can't let my, you know, the best man's already called the best man, which is a thing in itself. You can't come in and upstage me, and you're walking in going, just won the Irish Cup, did I miss anything?
That's it. That day, to be fair, I had the medal around the neck and my granddad and everything. I made sure everyone got a photo of it. And then the next day, actually, the next morning, I made sure that I got the cup down. Stephen Henderson dropped the cup down the hotel, so everyone was eating breakfast or whatever the next day, and there's me running about with the Irish Cup. So I had to say, I don't know if my brother was too happy about it either, like, but sure, it is what it is. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely fantastic. And now you get to, you know, use that experience, and maybe, you know, do you feel the benefit nearly of it now when you're in these games and everyone's saying pressure, 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 and da da da, and you're kind of going, look, I've been in pressure situations before, I just ignore that now.
Yeah, no, see, to be honest, now as I've got older, I've kind of, that's one thing, obviously you still get a bit nervous, like, but compared to, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, the difference now with the experience, and even passing that experience on to younger players and just knowing what to do. And back then, if it's kind of like, if I was having a bad game myself, it would only get worse. Where now, like, if I'm having a wee bad patch, I just know now to work a bit harder myself, and then as long as you work it, kind of, if you work hard, it'll be repaired, like, you know. So, and that's something I've learned through experience and through playing with other players, and like Michael Gault, Steve McElhone, Jim Irvine, players like that that give everything. And then I'm just kind of going, well, if I do that now and can help others around me, and it doesn't really matter if I'm not playing the best, but as long as you work hard, you'll do all right.
And as Saturday has shown, the club is able to pick up wins in matches where it matters. So you need to do that one or two more times before the end of the season to give yourselves a chance. I'm sure, because I know a lot of people have been talking about the Dundella situation and the championship promotion scenarios and permutations, but you don't want to rely on any of that. You want to be able to just look after yourselves.
No, well, that's it. You just have to, in this situation, you just need to look after yourself. If you're going to waiting other people doing your work for you, like, it's not gonna, most of the time it doesn't work out that way anyway. So I think we just need to focus on ourselves and game by game and see what happens. And the thing with the championship too, like, it's one of those ones that whenever that came out, people were saying like, oh, you've, that's a good one there and all this, but again, you don't want to rely on anyone else, you know. Just think, just focus on ourselves and work hard and listen, game by game, and we'll see what happens.
It is a sensible approach. Fra, real pleasure having you on the programme. Thanks so much for coming on to The Score.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Okay, we can now switch focus in the tail end of the programme to international matters, and you've all been reacting to the new kit launch. It seems a lot of people that have been contacting me since it came out on Thursday, are saying we're not massive fans of the new kit, Michael, especially the home kit. You can continue to give me your opinions on things at The Score NI. And on Thursday, I was also with the Northern Ireland boss, Michael O'Neill, at the press conference, and I kicked things off wanting to get rid of the elephant in the room, really. He's been heavily linked to the Aberdeen job. Any truth in the rumours, or can he finally put them to bed once and for all?
First of all, I didn't start them. I don't really know. That's something that's generated through the media. You guys work in the media, so you'll have a better understanding of that than I will. I was at a game 2 weeks ago, I think, maybe, somewhere in Aberdeen, watching Keon Boyd-Munce, who played very well in the game, and Conor McMenamin, who'd just come back from injury. And obviously the Scottish media have, you know, I maybe read more into that than what there is, but I've no further comment on it, really, to be honest.
But there's no interest in your side. This is where you want to be.
Well, yeah, I'm signed a 5.5-year contract, so yeah, I'm fully focused on what I'm doing here.
Okay, then let's talk about that. the game's coming up. How do you see them? Obviously, it's a while before the competitive fixtures are back. So how much meaning can we place on these matches?
Sort of the message we'll have to the players is, you know, we look back and it gives us, we've not seen the players since November. We look back on the previous campaigns, areas where we need to improve on, things that we did well. And we've got 10 games now, the 4 friendlies and obviously the Six Nations League games before we go into the World Cup qualification. So this is, I suppose, the first phase for me, really, in the further development of the team. If you look at the squad, you know, I think we have 12 players who are either uncapped or in single figures in caps, so it's a very inexperienced squad. We've 3 players with over 50 caps. Like, we used to have 10, 12 players in that situation. So, yeah, look, I think the reason for taking opposition like this is I think they're good games. They'll challenge us, there's no doubt about that. They'll be very tough. But these are two teams, Romania won their group, Scotland finished second in the group, who are going to the finals. And I think what we have seen over the years, and particularly in my opinion, you know, to qualify, you have to finish above teams like this predominantly. You know, they're what I would call, you know, top tier two teams. Scotland are obviously moving into the A section of the Nations League and are in a very good place. So it'll be a big test for us. But again, I think we get more out of playing this type of opposition than possibly lower opposition. We will play, you know, lower ranked opposition in the Nations League, so I didn't see any benefit in that, playing that, obviously, in these games. And again, you know, it's just about, you know, continue to develop the team, continue to give particularly the younger players the opportunity to play, and also, you know, try and find like a real sort of pattern or system of play for this group of players that we can, you know, persevere with and obviously work through and make it effective.
And just a final one from me on Jamie Reid's inclusion. Obviously, mm-hmm. He's had a very good season, 29 years of age, a little bit of an older profile, mm-hmm. for a first cap in terms of the players you typically go for.
Well, yeah, look, I think we're not in a position to ignore goal scorers, and at this minute in time, you know, our two top goal scorers are Dion Charles and Jamie Reid, who both play in League One. We don't have a striker playing above that level in club football at the minute. So that's, you know, I think he deserves the chance. I think you can watch a player playing for his club, but ultimately, until you bring him into the squad and you watch him in training, and because we're going to ask him to do different things than what he does at Stevenage, and we have to find out whether he's capable of doing them. And you also never know the personality or the character of a lad until you actually work with him. But everything that's come back on Jamie has been very positive. He was very keen to be involved, very excited to be involved. He's obviously had involvement at under 21, which I think was 8 years ago with Stephen Robinson. And he's had a challenging journey in his career to get to the point he is now, where, you know, if he doesn't get promoted with Stevenage, I think he'll be on the radar of the clubs that possibly do get promoted, or possibly clubs in the next level of football. And I think, you know, having been in non-league for a period of his career, you know, he's maximising, you know, this opportunity in his career. Again, similar to what Dion has done. And, you know, we look forward to having him in the squad.
Michael O'Neill also able to confirm that Bailey Peacock Farrell will be fit to play for Northern Ireland. He will, however, need a protective face mask after his recent head injury. Jamie Reid, the striker that we mentioned in our conversation there, has 21 goals in 44 matches this season at Stevenage, which is why he has been brought into the fold. No Johnny Evans, who has been struggling with a muscular injury, so it was felt it was not worth risking him here. But Ali McCann, Paddy Lane are back in the panel, as too is Connor Bradley. Dion Charles, despite a bit of a knock, is also in the squad, whilst Dale Taylor moves to the under-21s in the hope that he will be getting close to 90 minutes in their upcoming games against Czechia and Serbia. The other big news, of course, is Stephen Davis has been added to the backroom staff. He'll be helping out, adding his knowledge and expertise to the team. So good luck to Davo on his opportunity to continue his coaching journey with Northern Ireland. Now, that is us right at the end of the programme. You can, as always, get in touch. Let us know how you think Declan Cadell's going to get on. Is it the right man for the job? Glen's fans, who's the right man to lead you forward at Glentoran? Who's the man to bring you some silverware? Let me know whether you still back Warren Feeney or whether you think it is most likely time to get somebody else in. And if that's your opinion, who would it be? Send your messages to The Score and I, wherever you do your social media. That is us out of time, I'm afraid, but we'll be back next week to do it all again. So until then, enjoy your weekend of sports. Bye-bye.